Very topical. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is December. Still, all month. Tuesday, December 23rd. 23rd, as they say in Ireland. 23rd. They always say their T's and D's. If you're thirsty, it's thirsty. Kind of strange. 9:52 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I have still 2025, by the way. It's not 2026 yet. That's soon to come, though. And I am sitting here with no backup cup. None at all. All I have is my trusty chai this morning. I've made sweet tea, sweet peach tea. Took it to my family gathering yesterday. We had our little Christmas thing going on. Because we had my brothers and sisters and all their kids got together and had soup, the traditional soup meal that we have. It's kind of a light supper type thing. It's odd. On Monday night, I know it's kind of an odd time. There's only one person in the family that's working right now, so that's one of the great nephews, one of my nephew's kids. When it is. He happened to have the day off, and his wife wasn't working, and the rest of them are all retired, so that just, I'm just tired. I happen to have the day off. Anyway, I made a whole gallon of sweet peach tea. I just had a text message from somebody, whole gallon of sweet peach tea. And what's going on here with this thing? Oh, there it goes. They drank it all. There's nothing left but peaches. So I'm going to make another gallon today and just put those peaches in the next batch of tea. Cause it's, I'll throw in another bunch of batches of tea as well. Or sweet tea or peaches, whatever. And we got plenty of peaches. My wife must've made some more peaches cause it's, a whole bunch more frozen pieces, they're fresh peaches, but they're frozen. It's, you cut them up fresh and then you freeze them. So you stick that in the tea. Is that annoying? That's pretty annoying, isn't it? I have no tea this morning. I'm tealess. There was no Chick-fil-A between here and there, so I was unable to get any tea. The frustrations of modern life. I have, some things to talk about today. Let me tell you, like I said, today will be a normal show. Tomorrow, the good possibility tomorrow morning may be a live show. I don't know how it's going to work out. It all kind of depends on what happens with dinner today. It is December. It's my wife's birthday month. So we might have to go out to eat some point today, probably supper tonight or maybe supper tomorrow, maybe breakfast tomorrow. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen. Get one a day. And I leave for 4 days. Then the possibilities are endless. I have, of course, I have to walk the dogs and do all those things as well. But in the meantime, with all the stuff that has to happen, and of course, I got to get the motorhome ready to go. Anyway, the motorhome is for sale. There's another motorhome. There's two motorhomes sitting here. Talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and. I haven't had any time to get the thing ready to sell, but it's for sale. Good deal. Make you a good deal on it. Make an offer. 812-379-8778. I'm sorry. 812-379-8778. You can call, text, leave a message. Go to google.com/voice and leave a message there as well if you want to do that. Put that number in. Oh, anyway. I slept really well last night, occasionally. I just woke up a few times, wide awake, and then I would try to do something to go back to sleep, which apparently worked. I put on a boring, YouTube video or something, and I would realize that I don't even remember what video I had on. It's just I was out like a light again and slept really hard. Woke up a couple times like that, just wide awake. And, of course, the kitty cat has to snuggle up next to me, so just that kind of. I can't move around too much with the cat there, but I don't want to disturb the cat. Anyway, Topical Tuesday. It's topical today. It's just on the surface, topical. Not that kind of topical, I guess. Like a topical ointment. I'm going to talk a little bit about AI. There's some interesting things about AI. We're going to drill down a little bit. We're not just going to talk about AI itself. Everybody kind of, if you ever heard, listened to any of my other podcasts about AI. I think I had one last week. Talking about the issues of AI and how I see it, you know, spiritually affecting our culture and that kind of thing. And there's some I'll talk about that more probably again. I might talk about that tomorrow. If I do a live show, I think that would be a good topic for a live show, especially if we can get some participants. That's the problem when you do a live show. You see, I don't do a lot of promotional stuff to say, hey, the live show's coming up at whatever. I might try to do a live show tomorrow at 9. It could be 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, one of the two. It's chances are, if I do it at the worldwide headquarters, it's going to be 9 o'clock. If I do it on a video, it's going to be 9 o'clock. If I do it from home, it will probably be earlier. It'll probably be 8 o'clock, just so you know. So check in at 8, check in at 9, see if the live show has come out. I'll try to post something on, like a precursor to it or something like that, so people know that the live show is coming up or whatever. That way we can get some participation. If you go to Podbean, you can actually, if you listen to it through Podbean, I don't know if Apple, I've never listened to my podcast through the Apple podcast thing. I've only listened to it through through Podbean or Castos. Actually, I never listened to it. I know, because I know what it is. I don't know if there's any way to make comments or respond to anything on there. I don't think there is. Now there is, if you're on Podbean, you can actually do that. I think there's a Podbean app. You can listen to things. So if you want to listen to if you want to participate in the live stream, the best way to do that would be through Podbean. Yeah. Now, if I do it on Rumble, I usually like to simulcast. However, that's not always the easiest thing in the world to do either. If I use vMix, which I haven't used for a while, I need to kind of get that straightened up and get the newest version again. Get everything updated so I can use vMix, because I think I can simulcast on up to 7 different platforms all through vMix. And it's not like I'm trying to log into 7 different things at the same time. It does that for me on the other end on their server, which actually makes things go pretty fast. So it's actually a nice feature that they have added to that. So you put all your information into that program, and then that server serves, it actually goes out on the web one time, so I only have one connection to go out, and then it from my computer, and then once it gets to the server, then it goes out to all the other places, which works really efficiently. Anyway, talking about AI, I'm going to start from the ground up here with some of this stuff. there's an issue, and this kind of goes into the topic really is power. How are we going to power these things? Now, my understanding is this thing the same amount of power as like 2,500 households? Is that right? Or 2,000, 20, I think it's 2,500 households. That a typical data center will use that much power. And we're going to talk about power today, how they're going to run these things. We're also going to talk a little bit about future technology at the end here. I'm going to talk a little bit about that and where things are going with some of this. But it's not going to be a real long show today, by the way. But I want to talk a little bit about the energy sector and what's happening and how things are going. Now, I want to give you a broader overall look at our economy, what we're looking at economically in this country. And I do have some concerns about some things. They're good growing pains. At the same time, they can be pains. And it's not something that's going to be easy for our economy, or sometimes easier for, I mean, the Democrats are going to be able to, they will weaponize anything. That's just the way they are. And of course, the Republicans won't push back there because they have no spine. There's a few that have a spine, and there's a few honest Democrats. It's just there's so much opposition between each other. It's just the division of everything that they're all about is just ridiculous. But so where we're at, that's good jai there. That's just hits a spot. I had an apple fritter this morning. I should probably get out and run about 12 miles to burn that off. Oh, the issue we've got is that, well, first of all, let's talk about the power issue itself. There's a whole lot of electricity, let's just put it that way, that needs to be generated to power the current data center, the typical data center that's being constructed right now. And there's one right now in just west of South Bend that's being constructed. It's a huge facility. I think it takes up about 4 square miles. And it is, I've been watching it being built now over the last four years. Major construction thing. It's just whatever construction companies they've got building the thing is just, it's obviously been a major multi-million dollar project for them, obviously. And they've brought some other businesses in around them. There's a lift truck, lift, you know, those little lift things you can get on the thing and it lifts you up. It's like carrier, whatever they call it. The boom truck type thing. And of course, they make them now that you can just drive them, you know, that you can drive them from up on top and you can do all kinds of stuff. Well, they got those. And that's actually a leasing facility next to this whole thing. It looks like it's part of the construction zone, but it's not. It's actually a separate business. But they moved their business in there with all their equipment because they knew that this place was going to need it like all the time. So they just put a whole bunch of them there and they could probably make a fortune over the next few years with everything that's going on there. So that's kind of the way that works. And so there's a lot of other satellite businesses around the area. Of course, you have to have meals and everything else that are going on for people, lunch breaks and everything. Of course, most of them take care of their lunch probably because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. But you know that there's lots of workers there. Now, on the other side, on the north side of the highway, back a few miles, there's also another large industry area in that area. So there's all kinds of workers there as well. So all those workers are, you know, crawling all over the place there. And there's got to be some, you know, they have to eat. They have to get gas for their cars. They have to get services. And, of course, this is how economies spring up over time. Then eventually people want to, you know, they find that they're always there. They might want to move there. You never know. They might, you know, housing starts to build up around the area, whatever. So it brings in, that's what economically starts to create more of a culture around a particular industry, even if that industry is temporary. Now, the service part of the once this thing gets up and running, the staff will be rather minimal. It won't, for the size of the facility, you'd think it would be, you know, if you had a factory that big, it would be loaded with people. You'd probably have over, you know, 1,500 people working there. But it's probably only going to have several hundred being able to maintain this place because most of it's all automated. It's all, you know, it's just chips and cooling and all the stuff. So it's mostly maintenance and repair and cleaning, those kinds of industries coming in to do things like that, market type things. So it's an interesting market. Now, the thing we're going to talk about today is the power issue. How are we going to power this stuff? There's so much electricity needed that they literally, it's not on the grid right now. There's not enough on the grid right now to run the power station that they're putting up in the South Bend area here. They were talking about decommissioning a coal plant. Everybody thinks it's a nuclear plant because it has a cooling tower, has a condensation tower, but it's actually a coal plant, and it has a natural gas backup. But it's mostly a coal plant. They back loads and loads and loads of coal by rail into this coal plant right on Lake Michigan there. Now, just around the corner, if you go up towards the New Buffalo area and keep on going around the lake shore up towards Michigan, there are a couple of nuclear plants up in Michigan. And one of them, I think they have actually decommissioned one of them, or they're in the process of decommissioning it. However, they're talking about maybe possibly not doing that now. I'm not sure what the deal is, because the demand for power is going to increase by so much. Now, the coal plant was supposed to be decommissioned 5 years ago. It is still operating, and it looks like they were just doing some work on it last summer. The kind of work they're doing, they're not planning on shutting that thing down anytime soon. That is not going to be shut down. Now, I don't, they may convert it into what's called a clean coal, which is just a more refined way of getting the emissions taken care of. It's not, the coal isn't any different. But they're considered a clean coal plant where you have the emissions from the fire, the burner, the boiler, basically are treated differently. And so you end up with rather than all that going into the air, it becomes a hard solid. They actually collect it that way. It's not really a catalytic converter type thing, but they actually capture more of the issues. So there's that. Now, I keep my boat near that power plant. So I'm kind of familiar with what's going on there. However, so that's become the conundrum we have here now. So with all this wind, solar stuff that's going up, there's a big, huge solar plant going up in just close to my brother's house, actually. A little town called Millersburg, just south of Millersburg, Indiana. Huge farm that has leased all the land now. I think it's a 100-year lease or some kind of ridiculous thing. And they've leased all this land to put these solar panels in. And I don't think solar panels last 100 years, but so they put just acres and acres and acres of, square miles of solar panels there. Now, there's also a whole bunch of windmills out to in Indiana, to the west of the area. It's about south and west of South Bend, closer to probably halfway to Indianapolis almost in that area. If you went down 65, you'll see all the windmills kind of off to the west, I think. Anyway, so they're putting a bunch of windmills there. Now, of course, in Ohio, there's a whole bunch of windmills as well. Everybody's got their windmill projects. If you talk to anybody in the industry who actually tells you what's going on, I happened to sit next to a guy on an airplane one time. He's a repairman for the windmill industry. He doesn't own the business, but he works for a business. It's an independent operation that's contracted to do all the repairs on these things. He said they are backlogged way out. These things are, he said, they're even the ones that are spinning half the time. Many times they're not even actually producing power. They're not online. They're spinning, but they're not actually on the grid. So because there's all kinds of electronic issues that tends to happen with them. Now they've got most of them. They keep them running. He said he's booked out. He's got plenty of business. He's not worried about his business whatsoever for the rest of his life. He said there's going to be plenty of business. it's one of those things where. He's in the industry and it's his bread and butter. But however, at the same time, he was like, it's the total outcome compared to what you could do with even a diesel generator. If every one of those was a diesel generator, you probably would be providing a lot more power than you are with it. And it's a whole lot less effect on the environment in terms of migratory birds and all kinds of other things. And of course, it's the you can't use the land for farming now. For the most part, you can to some extent, but it takes up a whole lot of acres for those things. Especially the solar does a whole lot of other things, does weird things, and it does weird things to the land because now you're shading that land and it changes the acidity, changes all kinds of things. So they have to treat the land again if they ever want to use it for farming again. So it's kind of a crazy catch of what's going on. So in with all this happening. They're at this conundrum of how do we, because here's the other side of this whole thing that nobody talks about. We have a whole lot of investments going on in this country right now. Trump is doing all this tariff negotiation stuff. He's getting all kinds of deals made. Now, this stuff doesn't happen overnight, and it's going to be hard to see it reflect in the economy other than just the positive outlook will sometimes affect the stock market or some of the economic situation, buyer confidence, that kind of thing, consumer confidence. However, there's nothing to buy yet. We have we're still importing a lot of things that will eventually be built here in the U.S. So what's happening? Here's how it is all kind of shaken down. In the perfect scenario, Trump comes in and says he's going to charge a tariff. Then they negotiate. Then they realize it's going to be cheaper for them. They're going to be able to just move their manufacturing plant to the U.S. which creates investment on our soil. So they come in and say, "We're going to spend $50 billion to put in this manufacturing facility, and we're going to hire 2,500 workers to, or whatever it is, 500, you know, to say 1,000 workers to man this facility. Now, the price of constructing the facility, to get it going, that's all money that's going into the pockets of contractors and people here in this country. All the contractors that are putting up the buildings and doing all the construction work and doing all the things, that's all money those are U.S. companies making that money, rather than all the money going to somewhere else. Now, at the end of the day, that company, you know, its profits go back to the original, you know, they make their money here, and then so they make their profits and they take it back there. But it's providing jobs here in the U.S. That's the whole premise here, is that that's a good thing. If that's an idea, the idea is that we're trying to provide jobs and keep people working and infrastructure here, so that it creates an economic boom. And the production of the products now is cheaper for us because the tariffs are equalized. They're not having child labor build something over there, undermining our labor, and then selling it over here for half the price that it takes us to produce it over here because of all the regulations. So the tariffs kind of equalize, supposedly level the playing field and make it worth their while to put up the facility here, so they can avoid the tariffs and then make the money from the workers here. That's the whole premise of the whole idea. Now, so people are committing to and have started to invest in putting those investments into our country here now. So some of them have committed to a couple $1 trillion. They're going to bring, I can't remember for sure, was it 20 some trillion dollars now that has been negotiated that's going to be invested in our country? I think that's what it is, in facilities here in the U.S. from overseas companies, out of other country companies. So this is it's a huge boon. We won't see it for at least a year. You won't really see any of this really start to bud is in terms of how it all works out. But at the end of this 4 years, it's probably going to be a huge deal. We're going to be an economic powerhouse in the world if everything works the way it's supposed to. Now, of course, the Democrats are all poo-pooing it. They're saying it's terrible, or it's just going to be one thing after another. This is why in my opinion, the midterms are going to be incredibly important. Trump knows he's going to stay in office. He won his term. However, here's the problem. If the Democrats get a hold of the House and the Senate, they will impeach him. It doesn't matter they don't care what they impeach him for. He can get a hangnail and they will impeach him for it. They don't care. Once they know they can do it, they will do it. If they can get, and it will be completely partisan, if they get, their 230, whatever they need in the House, to get control of the House, well, Hakeem Jeffries will be the Speaker of the House. I can't imagine having to listen to that guy every day. And then, of course, they will have, AOC or whoever they're going to have as the majority leader in the Senate. Because I don't think Schumer's going to be around much longer. I don't know. Maybe he'll pull it off. He's a weaselly, greasy man. He can probably pull off something there. But it's hard to tell what's going to happen there with the Democrat Party and the Senate side. They have really no particular leader. They got lots of wannabe leaders and a lot of people speaking out, a lot of very loud people. I would say their leadership potential is not. Now, yesterday, speaking of leaders, I think I heard properly that someone asked Marco Rubio if he was going to be running for president in 28. And he said, if J.D. Vance is running, I'm not going to run. Now, if J.D. Vance chooses to run, he will step aside. He won't run. Now, if that's true, it tells me something about what's going on internally with the respect between Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance. That is a huge thing for to say. He could have politically postured himself to say, well, that's a long ways off. We don't know what's going to happen yet. For him to come out and make that kind of a statement says something about the relationship between J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio. Now, personally, I think the two of them would probably make a really good combination. Either way, I don't think that J.D. Vance is going to run on a vice presidential ticket again. That would be weird. You don't go backwards like that. Kamala Harris won't be another vice president. But however, she is in the top three of all the people. A lot of this is just the afterglow of the election as well. This means it's only been a year away apart, but she is still in the top three of the Democrats' choices to run for 2028. That's a long ways off. There's going to be a lot of other things happening there. Of course, Newsom is also one of them. I think in the top 10, I think it's Gretchen Whitmer. There's a couple others. There's another guy that's a governor somewhere. They're all talking, like they're going to potential run, or they could be potential candidates. My guess is between now and 2027, in the next year and a half, we'll see what happens with the midterms. Like I said, it's the midterms are going to be a big deal with regard to whether or not Trump is able to pull all this off. Now, here's the thing I was talking about with the whole thing with the power with the stations. I'm bringing this back down to the topic here. If we cannot produce enough power to run these data centers, and if all of our infrastructure, all of our contractors, all the blue-collar jobs that we apparently are losing, we've had a hard time keeping blue-collar workers out there because everybody goes off to college and gets degrees in basket weaving and spends, walks away with a $100,000 student loan that they can't pay, that they want the government to take care of. Because I can't just step out of here and be a CEO at a company, even though I've got my degree. I can't be a CEO. That's the way it works, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee. I went out and got my commercial pilot's license. I came back from getting my commercial multi-engine license, and I felt pretty proud of myself. I felt like I had accomplished something. I wasn't necessarily proud of myself. I knew it wasn't, I think I've had a pretty realistic view of what I had accomplished, but I also realized I accomplished something that not very many people do. Came back to the local area, and I had been a flight instructor. I wasn't a flight instructor at the time, but I've been working on my licenses and been looking, flying in the area and knowing, I'd worked at the airport as a gas pumper, ramp guy, cleaning windshields, pumping fuel, moving airplanes around. And I thought, I could go around, start knocking on doors and just get a chance to write. I would have rode along for free just for the experience and, small piston twins and that kind of thing. I would have done, just talking on the radio and squawking and, operating the flaps or whatever. I would have done any of that for nothing, just for the experience. Cause I thought, just being around it, I realized it just because I kind of grew up while I was training, I was working at the airport. I learned so much more, so much faster than the average student who went off to his job during the day and then came in and tried to fly for an hour. I was around the airplanes all the time. So I had all this background information. I had all this other, you just learn intrinsically. You learn more about the airplane, how it flies, what everybody else. You're always hearing people talk about flying and all the experiences they're having and everything. It's bad, good and bad. So you're in the environment all the time. You just learn it quicker. And you learn things that other people just don't. So I was in that environment. Well, when I came back, I realized, I need to get some experience. And I knew I needed that. But I also thought that people would just be willing and jumping for the chance to take along a second pilot. Well, because, just a second pilot in the plane and having just a second pair of eyes, second pair of, whatever it is. Then you start to find out very quickly there's a whole lot of politics going on. And there were a lot of companies that there was a couple of people in the area, and I didn't mess with, I didn't ever, So what? He was just insecure is what his problem was. So he was doing all this stuff where he was trying to undermine anybody who was trying to undercut him. Anybody else that knocked on the door trying to get a job, he would talk, he'd talk it down to. He just he was a little bit of a weasel. Anyway, the had one of those in our area, and he was kind of messing things up for some people. But those kinds of things don't work out for people. They just don't. He ended up struggling later on with some other things, and people started finding out what he was all about. The interesting thing that that I found was that you just don't walk into a job. And kids nowadays, they think that they got the degree, they're qualified. You have no job experience. You don't even have experience at working for, you know, you'd have never cleaned a toilet in your life. It's just the whole thing is kind of goofy. It's weird. They have no work experience. And, you know, employers look at that kind of thing. Well, you're kind of taking a chance. So you get a job as an intern, making practically nothing, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, they have this entitled mentality. And I've worked with some of these people. I worked with a kid one time. He was, I was a captain on the airline, and he was an FO, and we were talking about investments and business and all kinds of stuff and how you get to, he basically wanted to be a real estate mogul. That's what he wanted to be somebody who had a lot of money and invested in different things and businesses and all that stuff. He wanted to be there right now. This guy's in his 20s. And he felt like he should be there. He felt like he should be that guy. I was like, well, what are you doing right now? Have you started doing anything right now? Are you? I don't know. I don't understand what he just felt like he should already have $1 billion to invest, and he should be that guy. So somebody should give him $1 billion to invest and put him in charge of it. What's your resume look like? What are you doing with $100 you have right now? Are you making that make money? I don't care what kind of degree you got. Now, you might understand how to talk the talk and say all the right things. You probably don't even know that. But the problem is you've got no history. You've got no and you want to jump right into this kind of thing. So it's kind of a weird. But he was so entitled with it, like as if he deserved to have that. He should be in that position. That should be him. It should be him. You know. Okay. Well, whatever. Good for you. But it's kind of a cold slap in the face. It kind of wakes you up when you realize it doesn't just always work. Now, for some people, it does work out that way, and for the 100 people around that one who happens to know somebody whose daddy knows somebody or whatever happens. They all get jealous of that person, and they all, you know, that's when the whole thing starts to crumble on the person who lets that get to them. Don't let that get to you. Because you can just, if you're called to do it and you want to do it, just find a way to do it. Just find a way. You know, within certain moral standards, of course. Anyway, that's the way you learn. That's you'll get there eventually. It's, you know, it's just life. You just keep on going. So we have this issue now. I'm coming back to the topic again. Landing, helicoptering in on the topic again. Here's the crux of the issue. If all these companies who are coming in, here's my concern now about what's happening. If all these companies that are coming in with their investments into this country, they've committed to whatever it is, you know, another $1 billion of investments. If we don't have the infrastructure, if we don't have the workers, and I think this is where Trump is saying we're going to need more workers. Ironically, we're booting out all these illegal aliens, which is good. I'm all for that. However, we're going to need workers, and our population is not increasing at the rate that it should be. We are going to have people coming in and working. There's not going to be enough jobs. We're going to be at a point where we're going to have the opposite of unemployment. Basically, unemployment is going to be down to almost zero. It never goes to zero, by the way. It's never gone to zero because there's always people out there who won't work or just happen to be. Companies are always going to be failed. There's always going to be those particular companies out there that are going to fail. There's always going to be people laid off. Always going to be a percentage. It can be down to 2 or 3%. That's basically considered nothing. 4% is almost nothing. Unemployment. Because there's always people in transition, always things happening with regard to unemployment work. So as you do this, we're not going to have enough workers. And it's going to be a situation where, of course, now that's good for wages. That's good. That means good. You know, the demand is there. The supply is low. So the employers now are going to have to pay more to entice people to stay and to entice people to come to work for them. They're going to have to make the work environment good for them. So, okay, I just got a text from, figure that out. Anyway, so that's what's happening right now. We got this situation where you have a lot of workers who are needed for a particular to build the sector that's going to happen. At the same time, we're going to need more power to run these facilities they're bringing in. So now you see where I'm coming back to this whole thing of, are the data centers going to be sapping us from, you know, all the energy up and not having enough energy to run these facilities? It's just the cost of electricity, cost of power, cost of running the whole thing is going to cost too much money to get things working. So we have all these issues that are going on. And it's the concern is that. Now, here's the interesting part of this. Now, I don't know that anybody's actually putting this together and actually making it happen. I don't know what it would take to make it happen. Obviously, way more money, way more investment, probably costs more than the actual data center itself to put in. Nuclear power plants are the answer to this whole thing, in my opinion. See, it's the only way to make it happen. Now, they're going to have to reduce some regulations and restrictions and all the stuff they have to have, all the hoops that people have to jump through to get a nuclear power plant put in. Here's the thing. They build a nuclear reactor for submarines and aircraft carriers. These plants, they're micro plants. They operate, they're all self-contained. They work in this whole thing. They do the whole thing. Interesting part of this, how they work, they fuel them every 20 years. So you literally could put a power plant in the middle of a secured facility. You know, they're going to, this facility, it's not like the thing's going to be sitting out in the open somewhere on its own powering the community. It's going to be powering one thing. It's going to be powering that data center. And it could power, you know, things around the area as well. But within that data center, you have it set up so that the power plant is in the midst of that thing. So that you have all your security is basically, you know, around that whole thing. And so you have these small micro nuclear plants powering these data centers, which would then have a positive impact on the grid. This is the only way I see it happening that's going to work, unless they can somehow build bigger nuclear facilities that are going to power, you know, communities and everything else is going to happen. This is where I see we're going to run into the crux of problems with the AI thing. And this is the topic of the day is, are we going to provide the power? Now, on the other side of this, the whole thing with nuclear and the whole thing that goes back even further, if you want to dive down a little bit deeper, is the issue of the mining companies, all where you get the uranium, whether you're going to use uranium or whether if you're going to use a different kind of reactor. There are some other reactors that have been around for a long time, but uranium has been the choice. There's also a heavy salt or some kind of a sodium system of some kind. There's a couple different types of systems out there. So the real question is, how are we looking at this into the future? Now, one of the things that I was, as I said earlier, I might talk about this on the live show. I might just talk about all things AI. If we do the live show tomorrow, it's going to be all things AI kind of thing. And one of the things that I want to talk about is that we haven't even touched on yet is the effect it has on jobs and the economy of how people are going to work, how it's going to change work. You know, they're saying that there's going to be 30 million jobs are going to be eliminated because of AI. I don't think so. It's just a change. It's just The computer was supposed to take all of our jobs away, you know, initially. Everybody's going to lose their job. All these mathematicians out there are going to lose their jobs. The calculator, same thing. It was going, oh, look at this calculator. Can do some electronic calculator. Yeah, it just changes. Society changes with it, and it adapts. And, of course, there's more things. We can just people can become more creative and more savvy. It just changes. It's just different. People are always afraid of the differences. And in the meantime, there's always growing pains in this whole stuff. But now, so this is where we're at. It's there's the mining companies, the how we're going to fuel things, how we're going to do all this, who's going to build the reactors, how the government's going to put up with the regulations on how to do things. They're going to have to streamline a lot of that stuff. But there's going to be companies rise and fall in this whole process. It's going to be very interesting to see how that all works out. If we talk about things tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more about the AI in general and how it's affecting everything. If we have a live show, we'll talk about that. If we don't have a live show tomorrow, it's just going to be Wishy-Washy Wednesday, which is talk about mostly politics and politicians and what they're doing out there. I'll have some audio of a lot of politicians and what they're saying right now. The things that they've said in the past, things they're saying now. They're being caught in a lot of lies. Ilhan Omar, for example, has recently said that her son was pulled over. I don't know if that was the son she had with her brother or if the son she had with her. I don't know which son she had, but one of her son, or maybe it wasn't her son. Maybe it might've been her nephew. Cause I'm not sure how they seem to just have a strange definition of some of their family members. Anyway, she said that he got pulled over by an ICE agent and they asked for he had his passport with him. And somebody actually, he was carrying around his passport. Oh yes. He always leaves the house. He never leaves the house. He always has his passport with him. Kind of like, okay. Anyway, so I guess I gotta go. I gotta stop the show here because there's issues going on upstairs. Gotta end the show now. But anyway, that's what's gonna basically be happening. We have just planning on doing a show tomorrow morning. Hopefully doing it live. If it's live, it's probably gonna be it'll be either 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. I'll try to put something out beforehand. If it's from the worldwide headquarters, it'll be 9 o'clock. If it's from my house, it'll be around 8 o'clock. That's about all I got to say about that. We have big rest of our week ahead of us. We have Christmas coming up, so bless you during this time, and hope you have a good time with your families, whatever you're doing. I'll be working. In the meantime, let me know what you think about what I think. You can call 812-379-8778 if you've got any input on this whole AI thing and the power generation and where we're going with electronics and electricity. So let me know what you think. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. I will hopefully talk to you tomorrow. So I will see ya.